Good evening. Welcome to the Salyer Report. Today is Thursday, July 6, 2017. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Well, I'm back in the United States. I'm in San Francisco. I just recorded News, Trends, and Stories with Dr. Farrell, Part 1 and Part 2. It's great. This week is the beginning of our four-week rollout on the second quarter wrap-up. As you know, the wrap-ups are where we organize and condense, distill all the news of the last 90 days together, and it's a very important opportunity for us to really focus you on the deeper news. And this time we have a lot of extra sections to help you do that. One is long-term trends, which I'll discuss with Dr. Farrell next week. Another is Salieri core concepts. Many of you have requested help in navigating the archives to learn more about some of the core concepts we talk about, things like entrainment or control files or pushing the red button. We've also updated our list of space companies for those of you who are interested in that. And last quarter, we did a report card for the Trump administration, and so we thought we would update that. That was very popular. So lots of extras, again, long-term trends, Salieri core concepts, space companies, and the Trump report card, in addition to the theme on the Constitution and financial markets and news trends and stories. It's if you paid no attention during the entire second quarter, I assure you, you can read the second quarter wrap up and you'll know more about what's going on than almost anybody you could find. Saturday, July 8th, we have lunch with Catherine at Perry's in Larkspur in Marin County in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of you there. And then I'm heading down to LA on Sunday. I'm going to do Coast to Coast in the studio on July 10th with George Norrie, and then a live chat with him and a lunch on July 11th in Sherman Oaks area. You can learn more about it by linking on Salieri.com. If you're interested in coming, just email them to arrange a place if you want to come to the LA lunch. Our theme tonight is Will the Wheels Come Off the Bus? We are watching controlled demolitions accelerate, particularly with what's going on in Illinois. And not surprisingly, you're seeing a real push to flirt with war by the neocons, who every day appear to get more and more sway in the new administration in a way that is dangerous. It's almost as though everything we're trying to avoid with Clinton is back and in spades. As Dr. Joseph Farrell said today when I was recording News, Trends, and Stories, the time has come to take off the gloves. If we're going to enforce the Constitution, we have to do it now. The middle of the road is rapidly disappearing, and now is the time to act. It's one of the reasons that we invested such a great effort in preparing this particular wrap-up and giving you the best ideas we could on why it's essential now that we enforce the Constitution, what will happen if we don't do it, what could happen if we do it, and then some great ideas and thoughts about what you can do to help make that possible. What we need is everyone doing what they can do, their little bit. The reality is, if you look at the economics of both the country and the globe, we cannot afford this corruption anymore, and we cannot afford the war making anymore. We're shrinking the total pie to enrich a relatively small group of people. It's not going to work, and we need to change. Part of the problem in making that change is we have so many secrets and many decades of accumulated secrets. But if we can bring transparency to them and make the necessary changes, we can do this. But needless to say, the tension is great as there's not enough pie to satisfy everybody. One of the problems with shrinking the pie by your behavior is every day you have less pork to satisfy the pigs and the scorpions. Richard Mayberry had a great quote in his latest newsletter. He said, "A few years ago, we at Henry Madison Research tried to find a country where U.S. officials do not meddle. We couldn't do it. Out of the total global roster of 206 countries, we found 206 active cases where U.S. politicians and bureaucrats were sticking their noses into their internal affairs." People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. The reality is, the more we engage in fake news and fake science and warfare, the more the world unfortunately sees things as they are. So there's no doubt we're coming to a cross in the road, and whether it's enforce the Constitution or not, or decide to be a human culture or not, now is the time to act. And there's nothing to be afraid of, because I'm assuring you anything that can go wrong trying to insist on a human culture is nowhere near as bad as if we go to an inhuman. So and no problems we run into enforcing the Constitution will be as bad as what happens if we lose the Constitution. So as Dr. Farrell said today, now's the time to take off the gloves. Money and markets. The U.S. dollar is sliding down. It's the first time in several years we've seen it head in the downward direction. It's trading at 95.5. I don't think it means a whole lot unless it breaks the 92 line. If we break the 92 line and stay through, we could be in a whole new world. I don't expect that to happen, certainly this year, but there's no doubt that it's soft, and there's no doubt that the powers that be want it to be, certainly the president wants it to be soft. It's great for exports, and it's great for getting people to move back into the country. Fixed income is holding its own. The long treasury ETF is now up 5%, the intermediate up 2%, bond aggregate up 2% for the year, and junk still holding its own at 4% up. The U.S. stock market this year is performing very nicely, given what anyone would expect, but and given how much it's run up in the last 5 years, but underperforming Europe. So the S&P is up 8.61% for the year. Home builders doing better, up almost 13%. Europe now up 16.83%. Remember, that includes the benefit of a falling dollar. Germany up 16.19%. The developed markets, minus North America, up a little bit more than 14%. Large cap China doing very well, 14.31%. Small caps, 15.97%. And emerging markets flying at 17.8%. There's no doubt that the emerging markets have been very strong, and it was great to be in Asia for 6 weeks, because you were seeing a lot more economic growth and strength there than you were here. Commodities now down almost 10% for the year. Gold up 6.26%. Silver's backed off all the way and is now up a quarter of 1% for the year. Oil in the doghouse, down minus 26%. One of the things that Dr. Farrell and I talked about is the enormous blessing to the economy in the last 5 to 10 years of tremendous impact of new technology to bring the energy prices down, not to mention the geopolitics and the extent to which that has been an enormous blessing for both household budgets and corporate earnings. There is a tremendous distraction. Almost anything you see now in the news is really not related to the important news. What's important is we're watching significant controlled demolitions throughout the economy. Every day there's a new pension fund announcing that it's going to have to cut benefits or make changes. We're watching significant state and local government cuts. If you haven't watched the video from the treasurer at Illinois, I recommend you do it. I put it in the top picks last week. Illinois now facing a 32% income tax increase to try and balance the budget, and apparently that's not going to do it. Moody's is now saying they may consider dropping their rating to junk anyway. But I think Illinois is a perfect metaphor for what's happening. And as I discussed with Dr. Farrell today, my read is the same people who did the rape of Russia are lining up to do Chicago. But the economic pinch of as much money as being stolen in the financial coup d'etat is the chickens are coming home to roost. It's why healthcare can't make it through the Congress with anything reasonable. The budget money isn't there. And of course, there's $100 billion to increase the military, but there's no money for healthcare. So, and we all know the reasons why. So if you look at the economics, whether it's state and local cuts, pension funds, healthcare, and other controlled demolitions, there's enormous incentive for the corporate media to keep distracting to get ratings with things that are entertaining. And that's what a lot of what you're seeing in the news, that it's distraction, not news. There's a great summary of the quarter news trends and stories in the web presentation, so I would encourage you to look at it because that's available now. The web presentation is available now as we're starting the rollout this week. There is a tremendous amount and very useful commentary on the Amazon Whole Foods deal, which I think is one of the most important events of the year so far. And Harry Blaser has agreed to do an entire Solari report with me, which we will be recording this month, because I think that deal is so very important and there's a lot to be learned from it. A great new review from our Culture Scout on the column Food for the Soul on movie Jack Strong. I recommend it to you. And a book review that's getting very high compliments from Jason Wirth, The Fourth Turning, An American Prophecy, What the Cycles of History Tell Us About America's Next Rendezvous with Destiny. William Strauss and Neil Howe wrote that book. We've had Neil Howe on the Solari Report, and we've talked a little bit about it when we interviewed him, but I think it's very much worth your reading. Cryptocurrency, James Quaid wrote a second commentary called This One, Theory Versus Practice. Our goal is to understand and communicate the risks. Needless to say, when he read it, Cliff High said, we don't know what we're talking about. He's going to write a written refutation. I said, hey, I'll publish it. I very much want to figure out and communicate the risks on cryptocurrency. So I think these conversations are very important. Finally, a commentary we put up last week, Norway's wealth fund refuses to be silenced. One of the things they've said is they reserve the right to not do index funds, but to pick and choose. They don't want to put money in companies behaving in an unethical manner, and bravo for them. Dark Journalist has been doing a series related to the secret space program fiction, I would describe it, of Corey Good, that's been promoted by Michael Sala and David Wilcox and a variety of others. Unfortunately, Gaia TV too, as well. Too bad. I think it basically, you know, this is what happens when you get a very strong momentum with serious researchers and you see this kind of crap sort of plop in and try and eat up and take up the space with some, you know, a version of disinformation and fiction. But Dark Journalist has been doing a very good job of unpacking it. So it's probably too much stuff to watch, but if you're interested in disinformation and how the disinformation process works, you might find it interesting. Our hero this week is Cynthia McKinney and William Binney. We didn't have a Money in Markets last week. It was the last week of the month, so and our Binney interview went up. It's an excellent one. Former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, now Dr. McKinney, a professor of political science, now teaching in Asia, is, like Bill Binney, an extraordinary, accomplished person who has done courageous and hard work for decades on behalf of the American citizens and the global citizens. And if you look at the extent to which McKinney and Binney have fought and taken enormous personal risk and made enormous personal sacrifices to really fight for the for freedom and for democracy, it's quite extraordinary. I mean, it really does bring tears to your eyes. Frederick Moser's two documentaries on both A Good American and The Maze really tell you a lot of the story about William Binney, and I strongly recommend them to you if you haven't watched them. They were the selections on Let's Go to the Movies last week. But if you look at the extraordinary just accomplishments of these people, they're both very, very effective. It really does take your breath away. And one of the things we've seen over many years is McKinney's taken a lot of criticism. You know, people will say, oh, well, she's a communist or she's a socialist. It's amazing how much the people who got her thrown out of Congress can do to ruin your reputation and ruin your brand. And you know, no patriot has ever done more patriotic service for this country than McKinney. So I just, you know, I can't thank her enough. I just spent a week in Bangladesh with her acting as a very generous host, giving of her time to help me figure out what I wanted to say about how we go about enforcing the Constitution. And frankly, one of the ways we do it is make sure we get Cynthia McKinney and you know, hundreds of people like her in not just federal office, but state and local office. These are the kind of people we need, people who are willing to say no and face down, face down the people who are really sabotaging this country and putting it in serious risk. Putin's warning that we are headed towards war, and the people running the machinery in the U.S. government are exceptionally dangerous. It's true. One of the things McKinney and I talk about in this week's interview is the fact that they really don't care if the United States is destroyed. They think it will serve their interests. So make no mistake about it. We have people throughout the Congress and throughout the governmental mechanism who think war is good for them and the destruction of the United States is good for them, and they are not acting in our best interests. And let's go to the movies I wanted you to watch. My favorite short internet video, Battle at Kruger, and I also put up one of Cynthia's favorite TED Talks on how to start a movement. Both of these videos are designed to inspire you as to sort of the benefits of taking action and how to gather a crowd to take action. Our interview tonight, as I said, is with McKinney, and I felt that we had reached a real fork in the road. You have a concerted effort by a variety of players to get a constitutional convention. I had constitutional scholar Edwin Vieira on in the first quarter for a special Solari report called American Suicide to explain to you why a constitutional convention is simply an opportunity for the most powerful people in the world to do something they have wanted to do for decades, and that's tear up the U.S. Constitution. This literally comes down to the Luciferians against the divine intelligence. And the American Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence collectively represent a covenant that's one of the most miraculous things that has ever happened on this planet, and we cannot let it go. And if you look at the forces arrayed to tear it up, now is the time to come to its defense. Every person listening to this discussion has been the beneficiary of that covenant, and we have, as a result of the law and the foundation of the Constitution, enormous protections and blessings that many people around the world don't have. And if we allow it to be torn up, you have no idea how hard and fast things can change against your best interest. I assure you, you are much better off fighting to protect it than you are letting it die without your intervention. Because if you look at what will and can happen if we lose the Constitution, it's not a world you want to experience, and it's certainly not a world you want your children or grandchildren or those you love to experience. So now is the time. We've run out of the middle of the road. We've run out of runway. If we're going to do something, it's got to be now. And one of the sections in the wrap up is how do we enforce the Constitution? And there are lots of great ideas about what you can do. But each one of us has to look at that list of what we can do, and we have to pick up the items we can do. We have to circulate the information in the lists, and you're going to have to do what you can do. I'm going to have to do what I can do. We're each going to have to do what we can do. If enough of us do that, in fact, we can enforce the Constitution. We don't need to change it. We need to enforce it. And in fact, if we're not going to enforce it, why would anybody want to change it, if you get my drift? So now is the time, and it's going to require your action, just like it's going to require the action of every person who believes in freedom and wants to stay free. So it's a wonderful interview, and please not only listen to the interview, but also take advantage of all the different resources within the section on the Constitution and in the introduction and all the other resources at the second quarter wrap-up. Lots of questions for Ask Catherine. If Catherine could time travel, what would Catherine of 2017 tell Catherine of 1987? It's very interesting. In 1987, I had one of those great decision moments where I said, look, I can take my the wealth that I've gathered on Wall Street, and I can take advantage of this opportunity to move to a much more global business and invest globally in all the things which are growing and starting around the world. I can literally become a global Mandarin. A lot of people from Wall Street at that time were kind of shifting to a global Mandarin status. So if I could time travel back, I would probably influence the decision based on what I've learned since then and encourage a lot more global Mandarin kind of investment and activities. I completely underestimated the extent of the support within the general population for criminality and the proceeds of dirty money and war. And so it's taken me a long time to really understand the depth of the support, which I think is now finally changing, but it certainly, what I've learned since then would have swayed the swayed my willingness to continue to follow where the markets led instead of where my sense of responsibility led. Hi, Catherine. Julian Assange has recommended we take a look at Pursuance system. It is unapologetically technocratic, but the question to my mind is, will it service your thoughts? Thank you. I've taken a look at it. You're right. It's very technocratic. So I asked one of my favorite engineers to take a look. I think it's going to take me a while to understand this. Dear Catherine, my name is Harry. I live in Central California and would like to work with your team to solve the county input-output government finances math model, which you've worked before. This offer of working with you comes from your idea in several of your talks. If you could calculate the input-output of government funds through your congressional district or through your county, we could bring back fiscal control and an understanding of your regional finances one region at a time. I'll be attending your lunch and talk in Larkspur this Saturday, the 8th, and would like to talk to you and be connected to one of your team to get involved. That sounds great. Now, the important thing is for everybody to do their own region. So we don't have a team dedicated to working on this. But we would certainly be interested in inspiring you and helping you get kickstarted where you are. So I look forward to meeting you and talking about that. A few weeks ago, several Middle East countries placed an embargo against Qatar, one being Saudi Arabia. President Trump announced weapon sales to Saudi Arabia, then turned around to sell weapons to Qatar, despite claiming Qatar supports terrorists. Then Qatar announces a 30% increase in production of natural gas. Do you have a clue what's going on? Sure. It's called Let's Make a Deal. You squeeze one, and then you use them to squeeze another, and use them to, you know, to set up the conditions to squeeze someone else. If you look at a 30% increase in production of natural gas, I assume that's a squeeze on Russia. Because one way or another, that natural gas is providing an alternative for the European markets, is my guess. So, you know, you have a combination of let's make a deal and global squeezing, you know. So you attack somebody for being a terrorist and supporting terrorism until, in fact, they, you know, give you a huge arms deal and you know, the U.S. stock market goes up more. Number 45, that's POTUS, is making Poland his first stop before the G20 summit. Why? Are Poland and U.S. on the same page with the view of the world, developing a special relationship? U.S. and Poland have had a very special relationship for a long time. Poland is a anti-Russia buffer. They're very concerned about what Russia may or may not do. And there's always been very strong history between Poland and U.S., both personnel and investments of various kinds. So that special relationship has been ongoing. You don't see a lot about it in the press, but it's very deep. It's been there for a long, long time. Hi, Catherine. I think you should read this post by an intelligent lay Catholic, a Vatican and Catholic Church observer, who has more than the usual knowledge about the Vatican's going on for many years. He runs his own blog page. And then there's an article about the destruction of Cardinal Bell. There's no doubt about it. If you look at the politics going on around the Vatican, it's very serious. And Joseph and I will be talking about it in News Trends and Stories Part 1 next week. Have you been able to find out who is funding Citizens for Self-Governance? This is one of the organizations promoting the Constitutional Convention. This info will be key in stopping Utah's call for an Article 5 convention. I've been so frustrated by the lack of cooperation among the various groups that want to stop a con. Last week, suggested to friends who are state chairs of Eagle Forum of Utah and the head of Campaign for Liberty that we form a coalition, which could be the key to thwarting COS's efforts. And they go on. But they've put up a website, Stand Strong for the Constitution. I have donated money and invited them to use my name, added to the coalition. So I would encourage you to do the same. They've done a great job of trying to stop the Utah moving for a constitutional convention. And I'm hoping that the materials that we provided with the second quarter wrap-up will help with your efforts. And if there are any ways you can use it, certainly once we have a transcript, feel free to use it for your lobbying efforts. And I also want to mention, I posted this on the subscriber comments this week, if printing out a transcript or any of the materials from the Salyer Report can help you by giving them to a government official or any of your public representatives, you have my permission to do so. Please use all the information you have access to through the Salyer Report to help you communicate and persuade any government officials to do the right thing. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, Catherine. An idea for a Salyer Report supplement to food security. Have you considered interviewing the real climate scientists regarding the grand solar minimum, which essentially means that our sun is going to sleep, et cetera? It's more on climate change. I really need to find a Richard Dolan of weather and geophysical risks, and I haven't done that yet. If I believe that doing it will take a great deal of time. But I will it's certainly on my list to find such a person. But I think this is an area I want to be very careful with, because I think there's a lot of disinformation, and the last thing I want to do is burden you with more disinformation. There's enough bouncing around in the world. Thank you. New question. Let me start by thanking you for linking me up with XXX. It's been great. This is somebody I hooked up with, someone who I thought they would be very effective networking with. I was wondering if you had seen this report on the decision-making leading to the missile strike on Syria, and if you had, what you make of it. Disinformation, wrong, right, God forbid. Hirsch's always, this is Seymour Hirsch's article, has always struck me as pretty decent contrarian voice, but of course you don't get where he is without paying the establishment toll, so I'm stumped. I don't know if it's true or not, but the official story on the Syria missile strike makes absolutely no sense. So this could be true. For my part, I've always considered myself a decent professional geopolitical and military analyst, not in Saker's league, but right more often than wrong, mostly because I listen to folks like you and Saker. I confess to not having the foggiest as to who is running things, whether the president is crazy like a fox, incompletely over his head, controlled by his son-in-law, or little green guys, or what. I realize the shriek-o-meter is turned full gain, but noise versus signal is getting hard for even those who know how to filter. I'd be interested in your thoughts at this stage. The president is subject to competing interests who can bring enormous pressure to bear. He's both a prisoner of the model, prisoner of whatever he can be blackmailed with, which most people have something, but he's also subject to enormous financial pressures from very powerful and violent constituents. And there's no doubt about it, he's navigating some very tricky waters. Unfortunately, he's got a whole contingency in his administration and in the Congress who are not representing the best interests of the United States. They represent the best interests of including other countries, and I think the neocons would be perfectly happy to see the United States destroyed, and I think they could envision the United States being destroyed in a way where they're much better off. So we're talking about people who couldn't care less about the United States and are perfectly happy to capture the machinery to achieve their own ends. And if you look at their cultural practices and their economic practices, there's some pretty perverted, weird stuff going on. So I strongly recommend that you listen to the to the interview I do with Cynthia McKinney. She dealt with them much more than I did. I certainly dealt with the neocons when I worked for Jack Kemp, and, you know, it was like dealing with psychopaths. There was a story last week of Tillerson blowing up and going into a rage in the middle of the White House, and it doesn't surprise me. Tillerson is a very calm, controlled, disciplined, and grounded guy. But when you deal with these people, they literally, they make you crazy. And they have no problem creating chaos wherever they go. So it doesn't surprise me at all to see someone like Tillerson blow up. And it's certainly a signal that that kind of Luciferian culture and demonic culture is affecting what's going on in Washington. Anyway, so I strongly recommend you listen to the interview with Cynthia McKinney, because I dealt with it for a couple years with Kemp, but she dealt with it for 12 years in the Congress and went toe-to-toe, head-to-head. They got her thrown out one time, and she got back in, and then they tried to get her thrown out the second time, and she won the primary, I believe, for senator, and but they were able to rig the votes. So you're talking about people who have seriously subverted the governance structure and are acting with impunity out of the law, and we're going to have to clean them out. And if we don't, you know, we can kiss our freedoms goodbye. So this is pretty serious, and I would, again, recommend you listen to the interview. Hello, listening to the interview with Jason, and heard we can request a copy of his In the Dark. If there's still copies, please send. Jason sent us a box of books. They went to the wrong place and then bounced back to Sydney. Now we're getting them back, but we will have them. And if you're on the list, we have your name, and we'll send you a copy of In the Dark. And thank you again to Jason for making those available. Catherine, you travel extensively and always talk about maintaining good health. What do you do to protect your health? What suggestion for anyone traveling as much as you to maintain energy and health? Attaches an article about the toxins in airplanes. Boy, was that a scary article. I think I posted it. What I would suggest is you build in rest and spa days. You want to make sure you're very rested before you get on a plane. I always, if I'm not flying business class, I always make sure to get an exit row seat and have plenty of leg room and room to walk up and down and stretch. So build in rest days. And the other thing is, they're in airports all around the world, you have different sort of resources, like areas that, you know, you can get your hair washed, you can get a manicure, you can get massages. And I take advantage of all that. I try and spoil myself when I'm traveling if I can. I will say this, it's getting incredibly toxic on many aircraft, and that's one of the reasons I make a special effort to fly certain airlines. I find certain airlines much healthier than others. So, but I have a lot, I could do a much better job of maintaining my health while I travel. So I almost feel not qualified to give anybody advice on that. I'm still giving myself a hard time about how I overscheduled and scheduled too tightly when I went to Asia. Okay, that's it. Next week, coming up, News Trends and Stories Part 1 with Dr. Joseph Farrell. The following week, Part 2. Many rich, rich resources. I really want to encourage you to go look at the web presentation with the second quarter wrap-up. We have a section on long-term trends to really help you see the deeper news. We've updated the list on space companies. We've created a page called Core Solari Concepts for those of you who want to understand some of the terminology we use and figure out how to find great stuff in the archives to help you understand those different concepts. And then we updated the Trump administration report card, which we discuss with Dr. Farrell next week. July 27th, we'll have the equity overview with Rambus. And then coming up in August, we have a great interview with the founder of Strong Towns. Lots of great ideas on how to go local. And as I said, Harry Blaser has agreed to do a Solari report on the Amazon Whole Foods. Did you know that 90% of the Amazon Prime customers within the United States live 10 miles from a Whole Foods? Wow. This is going to rock the world. So until next week with Dr. Joseph Farrell on News Trends and Stories, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one, and one of the things you need to do with that conspiracy is to enforce the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, as Dr. Joseph Farrell said, it's time to get tough. Good night and good luck.